Hi, I'm Kat.
And I'm Emma.
If you love the Dead Parent Club podcast, you can help support its future using the Acast supporter feature.
Now, it's up to you how much you give, and there is no regular commitment. So if you can and you want to, please do hit the link in the show description to support now. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Dead Parent Club podcast. In today's episode, I am joined by the lovely Kim Hart Simpson, who you may know from her time in Hollyoaks and her time on Coronation Street, where she joined in 2020 as Nikki Wheatley and has a fashion label called Heartwork. In this episode, we discussed what Kim's life was like growing up, moving in with her dad when she was 16, and how her dad passing away really drove her to succeed in her career. Her and her dad actually watched Coronation Street together, and this plays a huge role in her life to this day, because going to work to her is kind of like taking a piece of her dad with her. I really hope you enjoy this episode as much as I enjoyed recording it. We like to kind of start with a bit of a background on you, your kind of family life and what it was like for you growing up, where you come from, that kind of thing.
Yeah, so born in Wales, North Wales.
Same.
Really?
Yeah, Welsh born and bred.
Where are you from?
So I was born in Ysbethu, Gwynedd. Yeah. I was brought up in Tregarth for the first couple of years of my life.
Oh, there we go. Straight away, we're going to get on like a house.
It always feels like home, doesn't it? You know, whenever you drive over to Wales, yeah. You go over and you see all the mountains, you're like, oh, it feels so much better.
I went there the other day just a flying visit to get my roots done, as you know. But it was a... it's just something special about there. The second I go there, like I just feel, I don't know, it just does something to me. So I was born in North Wales. I grew up in Rhyl. I was there till I was 16 years old. My dad is from Oldham. So I guess my mum and dad split up and got divorced when I was about 3 years old. So I've always split my time between Oldham and Wales. So both of them have like a really special, they're both from a home to me, I guess. Yeah. But yeah, it's, I'm Welsh, although I don't sound like it.
No, same. I have that problem.
Yeah.
I can count though.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I can do like kind of go to the toilet in Welsh and stuff like that. Yeah. Your basics get you by.
Yeah. So were you close to your dad then growing up?
Yeah. So I guess it's, I was trying to think about all these memories, and I'm terrible with memory actually, and I sort of glorify things in my head, especially when someone dies, you sort of only remember the good bits. So yeah, really, really, really close to my dad. I don't think so much growing up, I saw him a lot, if I'm honest. I did grow up mostly with my mum.
Yeah,
but there was always a relationship there. And when I was 16 years old, I made the choice to leave Wales and move to Oldham to my dad's house. Yeah, that's my first experience living with him full time, was when I was 16. Up until then, I was with my mum.
Oh, okay. That must have been a big change then. So you went to college in Oldham?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I left. I think I was at 16. I was like, yeah, I know I'm going to leave. I knew that I wanted to be an actor, and as brilliant as Wales is, it couldn't take me further in the career that I wanted to be in. So I knew I had to make a choice, and if I was going to do it, 16 I think is a perfect age, because you have no fear, you can't talk yourself out of it yet. You're straight out, everyone else is moving on to college or sixth form, so now is the time to be bold and brave, and I did it, and it was the best choice I've ever made for myself, to be honest. It's led me to where I am today. But yeah, I moved in with my dad, and that was quite a shock to the system, really.
I bet it was for him as well, like, oh god, I've got a 16 year old living with me. What do I do?
Yeah, and I was the first like a full-time kid with him, basically. He's got four children, two mums, four kids. So there's Emma and Neil with Judith, their mum, and then me and my brother Ben with my mum Jill. And I was the first one that I think fully full time with him. So I think it was a bit like a, what is this?
And I bet.
And at 16 as well, like hormones are all happening, partying starting. Got me at the like the mad time.
I bet your mum was worried.
But I keep thinking about it and how much that must have maybe hurt a little bit, you know, to leave home. And she sort of put all the groundwork in and then I just got off. But now she understands and sees it, you know. Especially, listen, no parent on this God's green earth wants to hear their kids say, I want to become an actor. No one wants that. Like, she must have been like, oh, no, I don't know how to tell you this, but that industry, you know.
It's going
to
be tough.
Yeah, so I was like, I'm leaving, yeah. I'm going to my dad's, I'm going to be an actress, aww. You know, like all these things. And yeah, I guess only as I get older, I start to analyse how much that must have impacted on her.
Yeah.
And my dad.
Yeah, I bet. I mean, look at you now, though. It's incredible.
Thank you. Thank you.
So your dad died in 2007,
yes,
didn't he?
Yeah.
So how old were you then?
I was 20.
Okay, so you'd only been living there, or had you moved out at that point?
Moved out. I was living in London, so I was at drama school at the time. And when he started to get ill, I was in London. So I'd been with him up until that point, really. And when I went to drama school in London, I sort of left him and went there. But yeah, 20 years old when he passed on.
Yeah, it's young, isn't it? I bet you kind of look back and you're really grateful that you did make that decision to go and move with him for a few years, because those years must have been so valuable.
It's all my memory bank as well, them years, because not a lot of us remember things for as a kid, yeah? Yeah. I'll have little flashbacks, it's more like colours and smells and stuff that I remember of than days.
Yeah.
So to have them moments with him, not knowing that that was going to be what would carry me through my adult life, I feel like that was fate to have them. And I feel so fortunate that I got them moments, like I won the lottery of some sort to be able to spend. 20 is really weird as well, because it is really young as well, like you said, like it is a young age to lose someone, but not young enough to not know what's going on. You know, like I'm an adult.
Yeah, it is weird.
Yeah, but university, I know everything that's happening. I know the problem, like I know when, you know, when they were saying what's happening, I knew that meant that was going to be the end of him, like of all them things. And being at drama school as well and trying to split my time with knowing what was happening with my dad, and being in London and travelling to Manchester as much as I did, it was just, I just don't look back now and think, wow, like you were. There was times when I was quite unwell with it, you know, the stress and the pressure and the everything and the change.
Yeah, I really resonate with that, because my mum died when I was 20 as well.
Wow, okay.
So she was diagnosed terminal when I was in my first year at uni, so when I was 18. She'd had cancer a few years prior to that. And it is really tough, because all of your peers and stuff around you at uni, I kind of live in more of like a carefree life, and they can commit themselves to what they're doing there, like with their work there. They can go out on the weekend, but you kind of feel this pressure to be going home on the weekends, and to kind of, it's really hard to be an adult and also a carefree young adult at the same time.
The guilt that you feel, even if you laugh, I was like, don't laugh.
Yeah.
You know, don't laugh, it's not funny.
Must be miserable all the time.
it's really... I don't. Did you tell your friends what was going on? Were you open about what was happening?
Yeah, I was. I was quite open. The girl that I actually started this podcast with a couple of years ago, initially, she found me on like a patch of grass one night during like a freshers week when I was crying my eyes out. Like, and she was like, "What's wrong?" And I said to her, and her dad was also diagnosed terminal, so she was a really big source of support for me, and vice versa. But it's weird now, like when I look back, you mentioned before about kind of your memory isn't very good and stuff. And I find my memory pre my mum dying is actually horrific.
Yeah.
Like I don't really remember anything, even as like an adult, like when I was like 18, 19, my memory of those first few years at uni are really vague.
Yeah.
And it's strange, because you'd think you'd remember a lot more.
I feel like it's fear that takes over the memory as well. So for every time I try to remember, it's like it takes a piece away. So and for every day that passes, for every year that happens and goes ahead in my life, it almost like detracts a year of memory from that. And it's like I'm exchanging future life for my old. And I don't know how that doesn't sit well with me. I think about it all the time. And there's a really great lyric that I always think about. And it's a lyric that says, "I forgot that you left me behind to remind me of you." And I always think about that. And even when I think, I can't remember things, I'm desperately trying to remember what his breath sounded like and what his voice and how he coughed when he sneezed and all little things. And the more I try, the more it goes. Mm. And I'm so, but then I think, well, there's bits of him that are me, and there is my face is his face. And it's like, so I'm trying to rationale with my thoughts and my theories, and on, you know, when my head goes a little bit west, I'll be like, yeah, but he left me behind to remind me, like, he's here.
Yeah.
You know?
It's so, you're so right. You are so right. And I know I think we were kind of prior to this episode, we were kind of doing a bit of reading up and stuff. And we read that your dad also loved Corey, as in prior to you even, you know.
Loved it more than me. Loved it more than me. Loved it more than it's.
You just
traded us all in for an episode of Corey. Honest to God.
That's brilliant.
He just, do you know what? It was just, and this is not unique to me. It's part of so many household memories, Long gone are the days where we sit down at a certain time and watch something together, and it's religion. That's what you do.
Yeah, it literally
the house phone does ring because no one would show that disrespect. No one would ever show that disrespect. And you'd sit there, and my dad did the same thing. It was like prediction. He did this thing where he goes, and it means he needs a cup of tea. And he always does it just as the, do you remember on the top, a little box that shows an advent coming up soon? And it was just prediction. It was just the same constant thing that probably now I would just do anything for, even just one night of just like prediction. And then after Corey finished, we had to do a sort of conclusion of what we thought of the app, you know, when what it meant to him. And he'd talk about the characters like they were part of his life, you know, and or it was gossip in the house. And that show in particular meant a lot to him. Yeah, so all these things I relate to him. I remember where I sat. I remember, again, the smells, what the room looked like, what it felt like. And this is not a particular episode. This is just always the way, always the structure. That was our time together.
Oh, I love that. That's so special.
It is really special. And I think I've done quite a few interviews now and spoken about the relationship with my dad and Corey and all these things. And I'm sure everyone's like, we get the gist, love. But if you had this thought process or this job or this, and every time you went to work, you felt like you were taking a part of somebody you've lost with you. You talk about it as much as I do. You want to tell the whole world about it, because it sounds so deep to say, but I feel like I'm keeping him alive by doing it. Yeah,
and you are, absolutely. I think that's the most profound thing, I think. And that's what all of us wish for, like when we've lost a parent, is that we want to find ways to keep them alive.
Absolutely.
Because it's so easy to, like, I always feel like everybody else around you forgets that it happened to you, whereas you carry it with you every day. But if you can find a way to think about them and incorporate them in your day-to-day life, it makes such a difference. Like, I saw in my family, it was Neighbours every evening. We always sat and watched Neighbours. And I got a bit sad the other day because I saw that they're ending it. And I was like, it did upset me, because I was like, my mum loved Neighbours. We all did. We all used to sit and watch it. And it's so true, like those moments that you have, and it's not one particular episode, but it is every single night, and it was a huge part of your life, and it's so nice that you get to go to work and you get to remember that.
Yeah, I think it's nice as well. Like, I think about what that means to the rest of my family as well, and how that sits with them. And it's a conversation topic for us all the time. And I had some really great conversations with my dad's sort of latter part of his life, and he put this stupid, ridiculous pressure on me by saying, just do me a favour and get into Corey, love. Like, and he put that on me, and I thought, you little I can't not do that now. And, a gift and a curse is what he's put on me, because I was so, there were times when, you know, acting is hard, and you think, can I do this? Is it healthier to walk away? But this person that I love and miss told me that, and I can't stop until, and then, you know, when, thank God he did, because it's built this ridiculous resilience within me and drive, and now I'm here. I'm just like, this is where I'm meant to be. This is what I'm meant to be doing. Yeah. And, you know, not just at Corrie, just in, I'm meant to be, you know, in this industry. And I think he knew that. My dad was a musician, so he understood performing. He was the only, like, my brother, Neil, was a phenomenal drummer. He's a phenomenal drummer. So I guess that he was probably maybe living his life through me as well, you know, like that sort of,
seeing you chase your dreams, like, it's nice.
He put that on me. And then when my dad was passing his way as well, I changed my name to Kimberly Hart Simpson, because the Hart, my dad's last name is Simpson, but the Hart is his mum's maiden name. And I was like, so everything I do now, I need you to know that it's a dedication to you. And it is to my mum as well. Like, I make it sound like it's not for everyone else, it is, but I suppose it's relative to that scenario, wasn't it? I was losing him, and I thought, again, this is another way of keeping me on track, having respect on that name, because that name meant something to him. And
it's like getting a tattoo, isn't it, after somebody dies, that reminds you of them, you know? It's that kind of permanent thing, I suppose.
Yeah, and I think that's just putting them little bits of pressure on myself, and my dad putting that pressure on me is ultimately meant that I have the life that I do now. So even though he's not here, he's made this partly happen.
How was it for you then, going back to school, like, after your dad died? Because obviously you were just 20. How many years did you have left at that point?
So it was really mad. I didn't tell anybody what was going on. I didn't really talk about it. It was a non-subject for me. And I remember that I was in a show, and the show, I was playing a lead part in it. This is like, I think year two of drama school, this is. And and I sort of just put all this effort into this part and thought, but I was travelling from Manchester, coming up, not knowing my lines because I was with my dad, but not telling anybody. Wow. And then people being like, you're letting the side down because you're not pulling your weight. And they're right, but I couldn't, because I didn't want people to treat me differently. I didn't want sympathy. I wanted...
That's so
much
pressure.
I wanted to shut it out. I wanted no one to know.
You're acting. You're literally acting when you're at acting school, like your life, yeah. Wow.
The whole thing is like, it were like just two different lives. I was leading one on the weekend and one during the week, and not in a good way. So it was just crazy. And I remember getting so ill that I was hospitalised because of various other things, and a medical thing on the side that I was ignoring, because how dare I be ill right now, you know? I ain't got time for being ill.
Yeah.
And I collapsed and I ended up in hospital. And and I remember being like, that, you know, you've not come into to uni today, and, you know, people are relying on you. Again, them still not knowing me, still not being honest with them and telling them the truth. Saying I'm in hospital, and they were like, we're going to pull you from the show. And I pulled myself out of hospital and went down there. I was like, don't do this, I need this. And it was all crazy. And again, they still didn't know. It was just like, I was like to hospital.
How you kept that up?
It was stupid. But it was just, that's what we do. That won't be a unique story to me, of somebody pushing through or ignoring or putting all of this effort into the show mattered. It didn't matter. Absolutely didn't matter. And what come of that was my drama school, when I told them what was, I finally had to tell them, because, I mean, I just come out of hospital. I'm not performing to my best. And I tell them the truth, and they say to me, we're going to pull you out of the year. And my will just went, because I was like, I'm losing him, now I'm losing this. And I hated them for it, and I was mad at them for it, but I couldn't thank them enough for it now.
Yeah. Oh, so did you take it? So you did, you suspended your year?
Well, I had no choice. Jeez, they just get out. They had no choice. Yeah, I think they recognised, they said, we're going to pass you on your year. Don't worry. We'll pass you on your year. Come back with her in the new year and start again.
Wow. That's really good.
I hated them for it, though. I hated them.
Yeah, this is the only thing I've got left. Like, what are you doing? Yeah.
I couldn't even imagine the word. I can't remember everything that come out of my mouth. Again, it's all just snapshots, like, you know, when you're like, boom, boom, like little moments, like going like that's
like you feel the emotion more than you kind of remember what it was like.
Yeah, I just remember the emotional journey. Whereas, and I remember sort of sitting in the room, and I know these conversations happened. I know that they said to me, "You need to go. You need to be with your family." And I was like, "No,
don't tell me what to do.
The crucible needs me. Yeah,
it's not your life."
And they're like, "No, it does not." Like, and it did not. It did not. And you know, I went away for that time, and my dad died on the 1st of December, and I had that sort of period where over Christmas and going back in the new year then with a sort of new life, my dad had gone, and going in and like that awkwardness of everyone knowing, how do we want to play this? I don't want to talk about it. I don't want anyone to mention it to me because I will cry my little heart out. So no one say nothing to me. And and then one day a teacher by accident asked me how my dad was, and that were it. Boom, I'm off. So it would all, it's like a case of the great pretender, you know. And but I thank my drama school for it now. I do, but at the time I couldn't see it. I could not see it. I just thought they were taking away the one thing that was carrying me through this. But actually what they were giving me was some time with my dad before he went.
Yeah, which is invaluable, really, isn't
completely,
it?
Completely, you know. But I probably called them some right words, but hopefully they forgive me.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Did you ever talk to anybody about it then in those couple of years afterwards? Because I bet your life just kind of started, you know, one thing after another then after that.
I didn't grieve. It was really weird. Like I sort of... I think I was a bit of a dick.
Yeah. Fair enough, to be fair.
I went out all the time, you know, all these things. I think I was just,
young, to be
and
fair.
Hurting and felt, why is no one else having this happen to them? How come that's so welcome it to happen to me? And then my world completely changed, and I'm about to catapult into an industry that I was only doing for this person. Now this person's not even here. And I've just been so angry. And I don't think I did deal with it. I think now I'm dealing with it. Now I'm talking about it. Now I get to celebrate my dad's life, you know. There was this thing that happened recently that I think is really beautiful. When my dad passed on, the funeral happened and all this. My dad had best friends and I respected them and grew up around them, so I knew them very well. And I guess that because we were all sort of so caught up in our own grief and life and everything, I moved back to London and then carried on, and then I forgot about my dad's best friends, Mike and Jason. And I forgot about them. And then over the years, I was like, how have I let myself lose a part of my dad? Because they are part, you know, they hold their memory banks for me and my dad. Anyway, I couldn't find him. Couldn't find him at all. Checked everywhere for years and years. I've been checking social media, trying nothing. Then, little did I know, I went on and did Lorraine Kelly show, and when I got Corrie, and me dad's best friend Mike was stood in the kitchen, looked up at his telly, and saw a picture of my dad on the screen that I'd sent that they put on Lorraine, and then he said that he was like, that was it. And he'd been looking for me and I'd been looking for him. And he'd seen a picture of my dad that he hadn't, and he said like his world changed, like, you know, if it changed and stopped for him then as well. And he doesn't have social media, but one of my dad's friends, Jason, had managed to find me. And I was like, Jason, have you got, you know, Mike's details? Couldn't find him. And then I was in a nightclub maybe 4 or 5 months ago, and this girl come up to me in a club. Beautiful girl, young, comes up to me and she said, you used to be in Corrie? And I was like, yeah. And she said, my dad was your dad's best friend. And I said, and in my head, I'm like, oh, right, what? And then I was, my dad's not here, like, what? And then she said my dad's name out loud, and I hadn't heard his name said out loud since he's died. And she just said, your dad's Kevin Simpson, right? And then she said, my dad's Mike. And then I cried my eyes out in a club.
I bet. Did you go to the toilet?
Yeah, of course, all of us hugging each other. We love it. Yeah. All that stuff.
Yeah. You
know. And what happened was I found them both. I've been to see them both. I've been round there. We're in contact. And just like that, which is so weird because obviously the association with what my job is right now, my dad made me do, which then led to me finding them. It's so connected. It's so weird. So that's why I say this is not a job. This is bigger than that, you know? This is family. Yeah. Like, this is something's happened. And the fact that I got to go on that show and he was stood in the kitchen at that very time and saw me and knew that I was still, you know, doing it, and I guess seen an image of my dad as well, which is mad, you know. He must have been so triggering for him. And it just being like, it's mind-blowing really, isn't it? Like, I could look at her and I thought, I remember when you were a baby. And then I was like, oh my God, I shouldn't be going to clubs anymore. That made that
Have a cry and then right, okay, it's time to go.
Stop going to clubs. but just her having the confidence to come up to me as well and say that.
Yeah, that's so nice. She must have known how important it would have been. Oh, I think, and if she'd gone home and said to her dad, oh, I saw her in the club tonight, he would have been like, why didn't you say anything?
Well, she said, my dad talks about your dad every day. He's got pictures of him all around the house. We celebrate his birthday, you know, his anniversary. Your dad is still a big, big part of the home. And then when I went round there, me and my sister went there to go and see him, and I stood in a house that I knew my dad had stood in. And I was just like, nah, this is, it was just,
that's so nice.
I was just like, straight away, like, I just felt like everything had connected and everything was like, and even though he's not here, he's here, like, you know, it feels like he's part of this. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that is literally the best thing to take with you. I love that so much. That is such a nice story.
Yeah, it's mad, isn't it, really? Because it's so recent that it's happened as well. Like, it's so fresh, that.
Yeah, and it's taken you so long to find each other as well. Like, wow. The day of social media as well.
I just literally found, like, I couldn't remember his last name and it was driving me mad, so I just kept putting Mike in. Imagine that, just having a lead called Mike and Jason. That were it. That's all I had. Yeah, that's not helpful at all. I couldn't picture any. It was just driving me barmy. And me and my sister, every time we have a little tipple, we'd be like, right, let's get on the, we'll do it again. We'll have a look.
Yeah, let's find them.
Find no one. Like, there was no leads because...
How many mics are there in the UK, to be fair? Probably quite a few.
So I just sort of, I didn't resign myself to the fact that I'd never meet him again. I just sort of hoped that it would come to me just coming in. And I know it hit my sister hard as well when I told her, and I was like, I found Mike. And then she came around then, and he got out of the pictures of my dad once I hadn't seen, and he gave me a big picture. Just everything was just like, no, this is just too good.
It does kind of sound like, to me, like, if you don't mind me saying it, that like you really didn't give yourself time to grieve at all at that age. And it is only now, kind of as you're older and you're looking back and you're kind of looking at that 20-year-old girl and you're like, God, I feel awful for you, but you did what you had to do to get to where you are now.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it is when people say, like, you know, you're still talking about your dad or whatever, like 14 years later, and it's like, well, yeah, I am. Because like, he's still a massive part of my life. He's what I do every day.
I think so. And even when I have behaviour patterns, I think, where's that from? And I think, oh, I bet it's him. You know, he's got lots nice of one. Yeah, like, cheers for that. I think any 20-year-old would not give themselves the time to grieve.
Yeah. I didn't. I went straight. I took a year out of uni, but I was working at the same time, went straight back to work.
Yeah, because we haven't got time, because that's when we're forging the rest of our life as an adult. Yeah. So until you get settled and you go, this is my purpose, this is my job, this is my thing, this is my house, and go, that's still niggling at me, that still hurts me. And then, I think this past 2 years has been the time for me to talk about it more, and even having conversations with my auntie. My auntie, when my dad passed, the night he passed, my auntie was with him, and my auntie was there when he was born. So she's the first one to see him and the last one to as well. Mm. And I kind of, only recently did I say to her, so can you tell me about what happened that night? And so she went, because I didn't feel like I was ready. Yeah. I was angry at myself as well because I'd left him the night before. Aww. And I shut the door, and I remember shutting the door and looking and going, I'm never going to see that man again. Aww. Knowing I wasn't, and stopped myself from going back because I didn't want to make it like it was a film or something, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't want to make him feel uncomfortable that I knew I was never going to see him. Mm. He planned this supper. Because we've all got a warped sense of humour, so calling it the Last Supper.
I love that.
Just a very warped, like, we deal with grief in a disgusting way, but that we make jokes. Yeah.
That's what me and Emma are like. We're
the same. Yeah. We just say really debatable stuff.
Yeah.
He'd said about getting all his kids and his family around. We're all going to have a Chinese and we're going to go to his. But can everyone just clear out for tonight? Go home, get a new set of clothes, do this, do that. Everyone just part ways. And he sent us all off for one night. He was just allowed to just be on his own for a bit, because at this point he'd left hospital and was allowed to go home for end of life. We had this meal planned, and I shut the door, and this is never going to go from my head. And I just remember shutting the handle and how it sounded and all of that, and stood there, and I'd just left him. He was a chain smoker at the time, and we stopped him, but towards the end I was like, just knock yourself out, whatever you want. So I remember seeing him, right, seeing a bit, dad, kissed him, love you, and then love him, boom. And thinking, never again, I'm not gonna see him. And then that night we went home, and the next night was when we were gonna have the meal, and I think he sent us all off so we could go.
Yeah, I think they do that. I think that's a real thing.
And I find that so crazy. Like, how can you choose? I don't know how the body allows you to go when you say, yeah, I'm good.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think I've heard that so much. And it was similar, like, at my house. My mum was at home and there was like 15 of us in the house. It was really busy all the time. People were with her all the time. My grandma called everybody into the living room at one point to go and get a hot drink, and all of us, for some reason, all went at the same time into the living room, got a cup of coffee. I was sat on the sofa, and there's some like double doors that went into like this snug room, which is where my mum was. It was just her and my dad, and my dad like went over and was like giving her a hug, and I saw her take her last breath when all of us had left them. I was like, wow, like it's been so go, go, go this whole time. We've always been around you. And as soon as it's quiet, it's like, okay, I'm ready. I think it's, that's so, it kind of gives you shivers in a way, doesn't it? Like it's crazy.
I just don't know how it happened. I don't know how.
It makes you think they just know, like they just know and they know.
Yeah. And I think that, to be honest with you, as much as I'm like, oh, part, you know, we've all had conversations like, should we have gone? Should we have stayed? And I'm at peace with the fact that he chose that, you know. I sort of know that that's what he would have wanted. And there's a, I guess, him not wanting the last memory of him being that, you know, watching someone die. And even though my sister worked as a carer, so she'd seen death a lot. And I then started working as a carer in the summer holidays when I was back from drama school and stuff with my sister. And death never frightened me, but I guess that you never forget it either if you see that. And the fact that we didn't, the only memory I've got is that.
That's quite funny.
Which pretty
to be
much
fair.
Sums his life up, to be fair. that was pretty much the constant theme of my dad.
That is what he would have wanted, isn't it, really, more than anything else? So
I think so, but you have to work through the guilt of you chose to leave, you shouldn't have gone, oh, do this, and all of these things, you know. And I went back to London as well, and I was coming back. So it were like, I don't know, why did I go back to London? I just remember all of it. And I remember getting the call in the morning, and I was with my ex-partner at the time, and I got the call, and I remember it, and then just getting that train back, knowing that it was got, it was just awful, like just the worst.
Yeah, it is. Kind of thinking about all of those things, I think it never gets easier when you let yourself sit, and that's what this podcast does in a way. Obviously, people don't tend to ask you about the kind of nitty gritty that often, do they? But when you do sit and think about it, you're like, fuck, like that was shit, like really shit.
Yeah, but the problem is, though, I sort of go, this doesn't belong to me, because I look at my friends and think, your parents will go too, and how, like, none of us, everyone's going to go through this. That's one thing we've got in common. Yeah.
And we're never ready for it. Even if you know they're going to die, you're still not ready for it. So
absolutely not. And your friends are around you, and they're going, "Oh, we're so sorry," and they're doing and saying all the right things. But then I look at them and go, "You're gonna go through this too," and it's awful. It's awful because. And then obviously I've got, you know, me mum now, and my mum's recently been quite. She had an accident, and then I was like, "Oh, so I'm her carer now."
Oh wow!
My mum's carer at the minute. She's with me tonight, and. Yeah, and just being like, oh God.
Here we go again.
She's going to be fine. Like,
it makes you think about it though, doesn't it? Kind of like, you're kind of like, oh God.
It just has similar moments and feels to it. The hospital visits. Did your mum go to hospital?
She spent a lot of time in hospital. Yeah. A lot of time, because she had cancer for quite a while. For that last kind of year, she was in and out because tumours broke her spine and stuff, and it was all very messy. But yeah, those kind of things, they do, it's like a PTSD really, end of the day, you know, these things kind of trigger you and bring it all back, and it's scary.
Yeah, easily. My dad, when you were in Oldham Hospital, they were in, and the amount of times they said, "Could come here, it's going to be tonight, it's going to be within the hour," rushing it, and get there, and he's like, "I am," you're like, "You're joking," like, "Just been given an hour," like, and he's just like, "Oh, he's just made a recovery," and you're like, "Up, down, left," and so I just remember so many times that we were running, you know, running to the room and getting there, and he's perked up, and I'm thinking, so when I was visiting my mum, and it's all of these things. I did an acting job recently where I played an Oldham nurse, and I was like, oh my God, like all of this feels so real.
How do you separate yourself from that? Do you just really have to just really focus and just get into that kind of separating your real life from,
I think I use it. I think I honestly use it. I think I, when I'm sat, like, say if I know there's something emotional I've got to do in work, I sort of let myself go there a little bit.
Yeah.
And that's not for everyone, yeah? There's only there's only so many times you can do that as well before that's cruel to yourself. But there are times when I think, you know, if you're going to play somebody that's losing somebody or something's happened like that, like if you've got that in your locker, you just have to remember that.
Yeah.
You have to. And
That must be tough.
I guess it's a form of torture, isn't it? I don't know.
Yeah. Torture and therapy all at the same time.
Yeah. But I'm not afraid to go there anymore. Like I wouldn't been able to have talked about it before for fear of breaking down, for fear of crying. But I'm not even scared to cry. Like there have been times when we and you were talking now when I feel myself getting there, but I'm not even going to try and stop because emotion demands to be felt.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't. Yeah, and if I stop that, then all I'm doing is myself a disjustice down the line because I'm stopping something that's completely natural to me.
I love that. That is so important. I think that's some great advice for people that listen to this as well. You know, you are doing, like, you feel everything. I think it is really important.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know if this happens with you, but, like, you know, when you try and talk to someone, you say, you're like, when the longer somebody dies, the more I feel like I shouldn't say it no more because people will be like,
I'm still talking about that. Yeah.
Go, yeah, yeah. So I feel myself doing it.
Mm.
You know, like, when someone will say, when did your dad die? I'll just be like, he died in 2007, but it still feels like yesterday. Like,
Don't judge me, I still want to cry about it.
I'll try and justify that I still feel grief even when time has passed and I'm a new person and all of these things. But nobody's once said to me, are you not over it?
Yeah,
but it's me saying it to myself, and I think, who are you to do that? But I can't help it.
Yeah, yeah, we make it hard on ourselves for sure, definitely.
Yeah,
I think you always think that people are judging you for talking about it when really they're probably not. They're probably not judging you for talking about it at all.
No,
We do just kind of make ourselves feel bad about it, like, oh, I should really be over this by now, but we're not going to be over it. We're never going to be over it. That's what I keep trying to remind myself.
Yeah, I don't think there's a time scale on it. And when one day, if I ever am lucky enough to have my own kids, then it's like I'm going to have to go through all this as well because they're not going to be part of his life. And I have to keep that memory alive and be like, granddad, you know, all of these things. And
it's a journey.
It's not going to stop, is it? No. You know, if I ever get married, if anyone will ever have me. you know, that time when your dad's meant to walk, that's going to be emotional trauma again. And like all of these things, like I'm excited to have in my life, but I'm scared as well.
Yeah, I'm the same. I feel exactly the same. Yeah.
Because they're meant to be there.
I agree. It's been so nice to hear you talk about him. And one of the things that I really love to ask people, because I think it's such a nice thing to do, you never get a chance to do, is can you please tell us your dad's name? And tell us your favourite memory of him. We like to kind of bring them to life.
Yeah, my dad is called Kevin Simpson. And there's not a particular memory, but there's a habit that he does. He plays the drums on everything. Your head, the sofa. He can't stop tapping, you know? Tapping, 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 like, do-do-do-do-dish, like, mid... midway through something, he'd be like, and you're like, why are you doing that? Like everything was a tapping service. Every boom, 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 like it would just, and it drive you barney, you know.
That's brilliant.
Everything would tap 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 tap. And we were like, yeah, we get it, love. You used to be a drummer. Move on. Like,
do you find yourself doing it yourself sometimes?
I did it yesterday, and I thought, wow,
nice one.
Yeah, like I was doing it in a theatre, and like I feel someone like. what are you doing on that glass, hon? Like, and I was like, oh, no.
I'm just drumming.
Yeah, everything was just percussion. Everything was percussion. And because that was his passion, you know, playing drums. That was his life. And his calling for sure. So when at the time, we were like, oh, you know, I wish he had another passion, because it was just like everything was just
annoying.
Yeah, honestly,
my head is not a drum.
Yeah, anything. Honestly, like, but when you're just chilling, relaxing, and you're just like, so not necessarily a memory, but a habit, like a constant habit, like a thing that's ingrained in my head that he did.
Oh, I love that. Thank you so, so much for coming on and for talking to us about him and for sharing so much. I know it is really hard. It's really hard to live through it. But I've got like no doubt that this will be really valuable. So yeah, I really, really appreciate you coming on.
Thank you.
I'll make sure to tell Emma how much she's missed out on, because she'll be gutted.
Oh yeah, make sure you wind her up with it.
Oh, Kim, thank you so, so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
I really appreciate it.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.